living in urgent times, if you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
My friends, it is such a pleasure to be with you today, March 8th, 2021. We have a very special program lined up for you today on St. Catherine Drexel, and I want you to tune in because you'll learn things you may think you know it all about Catherine Drexel, and we will be closing out the program with a very special prayer from St. Catherine Drexel. So be sure to tell your friends to tune in. But in the meantime, Eddie Morris, remember our dear Eddie? He told us about this beautiful prayer called Trust Me that he used at his prayer meeting in St. Norbert's and how it touched the hearts of so many people, especially one person in particular. I pulled up Trust Me here in the studio today, and I want to read and pray this prayer with you because it's so powerful. Trust me. Do you believe that I am the Son of God? And do you believe that I died for all men and women and that I rose from the dead? Then why do you continue to be distracted and anxious about your loved ones? Do they not also belong to me? Would I refuse to work in their lives just as I work in yours? I have not put you in charge of redeeming them. I have already done that. Nor do you have the power to change their hearts. Only my Holy Spirit searches and knows the deepest hearts of men and women, and only He can heal their deepest wounds. Your task is to love, to forgive, to pray for them, and to turn them over to me. Come closer to me yourself, and I will do the rest. Trust me. And this beautiful prayer card is put out by the Association of Marian Helpers in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. It says author unknown. Well, guess what? We know who the author is. Kathleen McCarthy. That's right. Kathleen McCarthy is the author of this beautiful prayer, which is touching so many hearts around the world. It's called Trust Me. So we're trusting you today, Lord, for a very powerful program because we need you. We need your confidence. We need your love. We need your healing touch. Before I introduce our guest, who will be calling in a few minutes, I wanted to tell you we have such amazing information about the In His Sign Catholic Radio Golf Tournament. That's right. It's coming up. The good weather starts tomorrow. Monday, April 26th is the In His Sign Catholic Radio Network Golf Tournament at the Old York Road Country Club in Springhouse, Pennsylvania. I've never been there, but I heard it's a beautiful course. If any of you are interested in golfing or you would like to sponsor the tournament, please call our office to Maureen at 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906 for additional information. There are various levels of sponsorship available right now, so be sure to call in to Maureen. And if you don't golf, oh, you don't want to miss the incredible silent auction. Incredible silent auction. And consider joining Kathleen and all the golfers and friends for dinner and the evening program. Now, Kathleen and this amazing apostolate need your help. Again, mark your calendars. Monday, April 26th. It's usually in the fall, but because of COVID, Kathleen moved it to April 26th, to the Old York Road Country Club. We are looking for the following items to use in our silent auction. Can you help us? How about those restaurant gift cards that you may have put on your bureau? Retail gift cards, Visa gift cards, themed gift baskets that you can make up. A basket of cheer. That's a biggie. Autographed sports memorabilia. That's another biggie. And a B&B voucher for a weekend getaway. That's always a hit. Maybe you have a house in the mountains, at the shore, in the Poconos. Why don't you offer it up? Put it together, a little B&B voucher for a weekend getaway. So if you're able to make a donation to support the event, please contact our office again, 610-527-2906, or email us at praise@inhissign.com. praise@inhissign.com. This is the fundraiser for the year, along with the Wake Up America dinner. You don't hear Kathleen on the air all the time asking for money. This is the tournament, the event, which keeps this on the air. None of us are paid. None of us. No broadcaster, including Kathleen, who's the president of the network. None of us are paid. There's one administrator who runs this office 24/7, keeping this network on the air. That's it. All of us are volunteers who love serving the Lord. So I'm asking you to love the Lord and this network by supporting the In His Sign Catholic Radio Golf Tournament Monday, April 26th, Old York Road Country Club in Springhouse, Pennsylvania. And I understand it's a beautiful, beautiful course and a beautiful place to have a dinner and silent auction. So let's talk about our guest today. I'm switching gears on you. I'm so excited that tomorrow through Friday, we're going to have nice weather here in Philadelphia. If you're listening overseas, you're listening throughout the country, the weather's been okay. We've had a snowy winter, but we're looking forward to sunshine and warm weather. And so we pray that wherever you are in our listening audience, you also will be brightened by the Son of God and the sun in the sky as we approach I think we're 12 days from spring. So with that, I want to introduce our guest today, who we've canceled 3 or 4 times. We had snow. I think it was snow 3 times in a row on a Monday, and then I couldn't get in, and then our guest had to cancel. So I'm so thrilled. God is so kind to us. No matter how many times we canceled, He made sure that we would have this guest on the air today. So we're going to be talking about St. Catherine Drexel. Wow. And Beth Racine. She's a writer, an editor, an independent communications consultant. She serves as the assistant director of the St. Catherine Drexel Shrine, now located, by the way, at the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul. That's right. If you remember, it was up, I believe, in Bensalem. I did a shoot with John F. Benkovic for EWTN maybe 10, 15 years ago. And we did a whole piece on the shrine back then for EWTN. But now it has moved to the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul downtown. And Beth is such a perfect guest for this because we're in the Mother Catherine Drexel times right now. We're in her novena time. People are talking about it. There was a beautiful article in Catholic Philly, and March 3rd is the feast of St. Catherine Drexel. Can you believe this? March 3rd. So God has a plan. It isn't by accident that Beth will be calling in today. And did you know that St. Catherine Drexel is the second American-born saint to be canonized? We should have a little trivia. Who was the first? One of these broadcasts, I'm going to surprise you with a basket full of gifts and a pocket full of trivia questions. And let's see how well you know your faith. So, Mother Catherine Drexel was known for her commitment to racial justice and her educational efforts for minority groups in America. And, you know, I love the scripture, much will be required of the person entrusted with much. Luke 12, verse 48. Mother Catherine Drexel understood this, and instead of living a life of luxury and pleasure, she chose one of sacrifice and service. And this is what we're going to be talking to Beth about shortly. Beth, hello. Welcome. You're live on the air.
Hi, Anne. Thank you so much for having me on. It's great to talk to you.
Oh, well, it's great to finally have you on the air. No snowstorms outside. We have a wonderful engineer. And I think it's very timely and providential that we're discussing St. Catherine Drexel today. This is the time period, right? Her feast day was March 3rd. You know, yeah. A lot of talk about St. Catherine Drexel now.
Oh, yes, definitely. She's very relevant. I mean, she was ahead of her time, and we need her today, you know, being the patron saint of racial justice. I mean, she's the go-to woman for this time period, for sure.
Speaking of a go-to woman, so are you, by the way. very talented, and thank you for agreeing to be on the air with us today, Beth.
Oh, my pleasure.
Can you take our listeners through a little bit, if you can, just a few minutes of history, not the whole history, but just a little bit of background on St. Catherine Drexel and a little bit of her life and why it's relevant today?
Oh, boy. A little bit of background, huh?
Well, if you're comfortable with that.
Oh, there's a lot of background. I'm just saying there's not just a little bit. Well, let's see. Where should we start?
Well, she was born wealthy in a wealthy family.
Yes, her father was very wealthy, and the Drexel family is very well known, especially in our area, but, you know, nationally as well. The family had a tremendous, tremendous ministry in the Philadelphia area. I mean, her stepmother opened up their home twice a week for people who were in need to come to their home to receive goods that they needed or financial assistance, everything they needed. It was amazing. Ministry was amazing.
But her mother died 1 month after giving birth.
Correct.
So it's her stepmother. Her father remarried, it's my understanding, 2 years after the death of the mother to Emma Bouvier.
Correct.
And so this is the woman who really taught St. Catherine Drexel about giving to others.
Yes, yes. Yeah, very generous family, very generous stepmother. I mean, she considered her, you know, she treated her as if she were her mother. You know, she had a great love for her. And her mother died, I'm trying to think, I don't remember the date exactly when her stepmother died, but her father died in 1885, and bequeathed an estate to Catherine and her sisters, $15 million to her and her sisters and a few charities. So that was when Catherine was able to, you know, utilize that money to help the ministries of the various priests and the ministries that the priests had that were out west with the American Native American people.
So she learned the gift of charity from her stepmother, Emma Bouvier. You're sharing how Emma did open the home to help those in need and to use their wealth for others. And so this was a great formation time for St. Catherine Drexel. But let's shift over a little bit. So this is a very, very wealthy family. You're saying about the millions of dollars they gave away. And then how in the world she became a nun, obviously. What order was St. Catherine Drexel?
You mean when she became a nun?
Yes.
Originally?
Yes.
You know what? I don't have that at the tip of my tongue here.
Okay. And then you said she went to work out west. So what's the transition from her being stepdaughter to Emma learning about using wealth for others to working out west. What did she do?
Well, she financed the opening of St. Catherine's Indian School in Santa Fe to serve the local Pueblo Indians out there. But in January of 1887, she had an audience with Pope Leo XIII in Rome. And she had, because she was so moved and so concerned about the plight of the Native Americans, she had gone to him seeking help to get missionaries to go help them. And he actually prophetically asked her to consider becoming a missionary herself, which she actually ended up doing. So she ended up in 1889, under the direction of her spiritual advisor, she sought to found a religious order dedicated to serving African Americans and American Indians.
Called the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament, right?
Correct, yes. So she entered religious life in 1889. So she actually went to see Pope Leo before she became a religious.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And she did enter religious life and as a postulant with the Sisters of Mercy in Pittsburgh in 1889. And then in 1891 is when she founded the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament.
Here in Philadelphia.
Correct. And she started out with 10 novices and 3 postulants.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in Torresdale. And they temporarily used the Drexel Summer Home until the mother house was ready for occupancy, and that was in Cornwall Heights, which is now Bensalem.
So what was the charism of the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament? I mean, we're talking about what they did out west, but was there charism for Native Americans? What was it? I mean, I know that that's in the literature of Catherine Drexel, but what was the charism of the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament?
Well, their charism is they're dedicated to sharing the message of the gospel and the life of the Eucharist.
Mm.
So everything was based, that's why they were called the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament. Everything was Eucharistically based. And their work was mainly to minister and work for justice among the poor and the oppressed, especially with the African American and Native American peoples. So that was their main charism.
But how did she end up? It's my understanding she founded Xavier University.
Yes.
So that's
she did that in 1925.
That's quite a switch.
Well, it's not really a switch. It's just an extension of her ministry because they worked to educate the children that were not receiving everything they needed.
Mm-hmm.
So a big part of her ministry was education. She founded schools even in Philadelphia, schools for younger children, schools, you know, high schools, and Xavier University, too, in Louisiana.
She has quite a legacy.
Absolutely.
And when was she canonized?
She was canonized in the year 2000.
Wow, by Pope John Paul?
On October 1st. Yes, Pope John Paul. And it was interesting because when I first moved to the Philadelphia area, I had heard of Catherine Drexel, you know, but she wasn't really fully on my radar screen until the canonization. And when we moved to the Philadelphia area, I didn't realize we were moving right into the parish where the little girl, Amy Wall, had been healed from St. Catherine's, the intercession to St. Catherine. So that was an amazing surprise and a real blessing for me. So,
tell our listeners, I mean, you just dropped a name and a miracle. So what exactly happened after Mother Catherine died? And I understand she died from a cerebral hemorrhage. And then people started to pray to her, and the Wall family started to pray for her. Why?
Well, because they had heard about her healing of Robert, and I'm Guthrieman, I think is how you pronounce his last name. So in 1988, St. Catherine was, well, she wasn't saint back then, but she was beatified. And there was a 14-year-old boy in the Bucks County area as well, who had severe inner ear damage, and it was healed miraculously. And so the family, the children, Amy's brother and sister, had heard about this miracle at school. They attended St. Bede's Church, St. Bede's School at the time. And so they went home and asked their mother if they could pray to ask Catherine Drexel to heal their sister. And the mother, it was interesting when I heard the story, because I marveled at the thought and the restraint of the family. And the mother prayed about it, and then she said, "Yes, you know, we'll pray to her and ask for her intercession." And so the family did. They started praying, and Amy was healed. So that was quite a miracle. And I know all the Wall children attended Drexel University. Our pastor told me that he had arranged with Drexel University to provide a scholarship to all the children in the Wall family, which was really nice. I mean, that was really amazing.
And how many years ago is this? 2000 that she was healed? Or 1988? 98,
well,
rather?
2000 was her canonization.
Right.
So I'm not sure how long after she was healed that the canonization happened.
Right. We need the healings for the canonization. And the boy's hearing was healed. Guthrieman. I remember reading about him. Yes. Mm-hmm. So they're two local miracles.
Yeah, and they both involve hearing, which is very interesting.
It is. Now, was Catherine Drexel hard of hearing?
Not that I've heard anything about. I don't know. I'm not sure what the connection is there, but, you know, it's still amazing. God works in his ways.
From our area, again, which is amazing. Two individuals with hearing difficulties, and how the Lord healed both of them through the intercession of Mother Catherine Drexel. So,
yes.
And one was a member of St. Bede's, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, that's astonishing. You know, I know she's the patroness of racial justice and philanthropist.
Right, and philanthropist too, yes.
Oh, that's a mighty charge for a saint in heaven, to be a patroness of philanthropists. I'm already thinking of the IRS right now. I mean, did she give away all of her money? Was anything left in trust for Drexel University?
You know, this is what happened. Her father had specified in his will that his money was to be put into a trust, and his daughters could live from the interest on the trust for their entire lives. And then upon his daughter's death, the principal would then go to their heirs. But none of the girls had children, and St. Catherine, upon her death, that ended the money that was coming in to her, so that ended the funding of her missions. And the money then was to go to, his daughters had no heirs, the money was going to go to specified charities. And so that's where the money went then after the death of all the daughters, the three daughters.
So can you talk a little bit to our listeners about some of her missionary work? You know, I know Pope Leo XIII talked, he asked her, well, why don't you be a missionary? As she urged the Pope to send more missionaries to Wyoming. So, and he said, right. Well, why don't you be a missionary? And, you know, how did, that just doesn't happen. You know, she had to carry the charism from the Holy Father out to the missions, and she had to have the zeal in her heart. Talk a little bit, if you can, at any aspect of her life that you believe is important for our listeners to know, Beth.
Well, she did, when she took her vows, her deep love for the Blessed Sacrament, as I said, was at the heart of her mission. And she not only took the three vows of chastity, poverty, and obedience, but she took a fourth vow of service to the Indian and Black races, as she put it. And she visited the reservations out west with a priest, and I'm not remembering which priest it was that she knew from the Philadelphia area, but she visited the Native Americans and the Sioux chief Red Cloud was in particular someone that she had visited. And they, you know, when she was there, she got to work with the children, especially, and the people that lived out there, and it just really moved her, and she was struck by how much they needed in terms of education, and she had a great love for the people, and so that's what really drove her.
Now, did she have a companion sister who worked with her? You know, generally there's a companion sister, or if there's a priest, there's a companion priest that works with an individual. Is there anyone that you know of, you know, in the archives that traveled with her that has actually taken over the ministry in the decades that followed?
There's no name that really stuck out to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she worked with a lot of the priests of the Philadelphia Archdiocese. Yeah, but nobody that's jumping out at me.
Okay. Well, Beth, speaking of jumping out at you, we're ready for a commercial break. Can you hold on the line, please? Our friends,
sure.
We're listening to Beth Racine talking about St. Catherine Drexel, and after this commercial break, we'll be back discussing more with Beth Racine. Hold on, please.
This is Dr. Carol Houghton of the Diocese of Harrisburg. I have been blessed in many ways by Kathleen McCarthy's retreats, days of reflection, preaching, and teaching, especially on In His Sign Catholic Radio. When Kathleen teaches from the scripture and shares with us her personal stories, I am deeply touched and inspired. It is as if God is speaking directly from her heart to my heart. And when Kathleen reads from her books, In the Silence of My Heart, she shares with us what God has spoken to her, an intimate message of unconditional love and mercy. God has blessed Kathleen with many gifts, which she readily shares with others, by doing every day what the Lord has asked of her. And by the example of her yes to God, we too are encouraged to give our yes to God. For Kathleen's daily and public witness to the gospel, I will be forever grateful, for it is by this example that she challenges me to become a better disciple of the Lord.
You're listening to In His Sign, Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, my friends. Our special guest today is Beth Racine. She's a writer, editor, and independent communications consultant. She serves as the assistant director of the St. Catherine Drexel Shrine, located at the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul in Philadelphia. Whoop, we can hear you tearing paper. And it is a thrill to have you back. And again, you're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone. And this program is entitled Thy Will Be Done. We're on every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m., so be sure to tune in all the time. Beth, let's talk about, you know, I did visit the Shrine years ago with Jeanette Beck and Vic to do a series on EWTN, and then I read that St. Catherine Drexel's body was moved to the Cathedral Basilica of St. Peter and Paul, and then your name is associated with this, which is wonderful. Tell us why the move. Can you tell our listeners why in the world did everything shut down in Bensalem, and now her body is at the Cathedral Basilica of St. Peter and Paul in Philadelphia?
Well, as I mentioned before, when St. Catherine passed away, the funding that was readily available to her during her lifetime, that ended. And the over the years, she, you know, she, there was no, you know, they used all the money to support all their missions and the funding of the schools and everything else. So the sisters, unfortunately, had reached a point where they were no longer able to keep the grounds or the whole Bensalem complex open any longer. And so they sold it. And they were very grateful when the cathedral had offered to transfer the, you know, the blessed remains of St. Catherine Drexel to the cathedral. So that is, they were moved a couple of years ago now. She's been there a couple of years now.
Now, is she located in a special alcove?
Oh, yes. In the rear of the shrine, or I'm sorry, in the rear of the cathedral, or as you enter the front doors of the cathedral, to the left is a beautiful altar that Catherine and her sisters had donated in memory of her parents. it was the Drexel Shrine, and it's a beautiful altar. And so they use that area in the very back of the shrine. There's an alcove where they have placed the tomb, and they also placed a large statue of Saint Catherine, you know, above the altar area as well. So it the tomb area, it's amazing, because I used to go to the tomb all the time when it was in Bensalem, and going to the tomb in this location, it's almost exactly the same feeling. They've set it up, you know, the same way with the artwork above the tomb. It's beautiful, so peaceful, and it's so intimate, and you can just pray there. And I always touch the tomb. I just always feel very close to Mother Catherine when I'm there. She's really become very special to me since I've lived in the area. Very, very important part of my life. She's really helped us out a lot, my family. So it's so as you're facing the altar, it's to the left, at the rear of the church.
Mm-hmm. But one cannot see her body, correct?
Correct. She's entombed. You know, and they did not remove her from her tomb when she was canonized. So she has remained entombed the whole time.
So we do not know if her body's incorrupt. It was never checked?
I don't think it was checked. From what I understand, she has never been exhumed to see that.
So, Beth, let's talk about, I mean, you're dealing, I'm not quite sure how many hours a week, with stories and the PR and the communications on St. Catherine Drexel. Are there any current stories, you know, at least in Philadelphia or around the world, in terms of people asking for intercessory prayers to St. Catherine Drexel? Has she become more popular with the focus today on social injustice?
I think so. I think people are realizing, because, you know, a lot of people probably concerned about what's been happening in the United States probably check to see who is the patron saint of racial justice. And so, you know, if you check that out, you find her name, and I'm, you know, I'm sure there's people praying to her now to help bring about justice for everyone in our country and the world.
Mm-hmm. Are there any current stories that the church is following in terms of a healing? I know you mentioned the two healings that have been confirmed medically, the restoration of the boy's hearing and a young girl healed of deafness. Is there anything underway right now that you know of?
I'm not aware of any of the stories, if there are any. I would have to check on that for you.
So who is the head of this shrine at this point, which is at the Cathedral Basilica of St. Peter and Paul? Who has responsibility, the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament or the Archdiocese of Philadelphia?
The Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Father Dennis Gill is the director.
Mm-hmm. So the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament, do we still have an order? And if so, where do they reside?
Well, the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament are, I know Sister Pat Downs, who used to be the director of the Catherine Drexel Shrine. She resides at Paul's Run, which is a retirement community. And I know the sisters are there, but I'm not sure if all of them are there or just a few.
And are there still missions out west under the Mother Catherine Drexel name that are in play today?
You know, I'm not that familiar with that side of the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that familiar with what the sisters, everything that they're encompassing. I know they still have had ministries down in Haiti, but I'd have to plead ignorance. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. You know, it's not easy to be live on radio on any topic, and I thank you and appreciate you taking the time, actually, today to talk about Mother Catherine Drexel. You know, Beth, let's talk about, you know, some of her charisms. When I did the documentary for EWTN, which was maybe 15 years ago, I remember a chair on the altar in which I cannot remember the nun who was there saying that Mother would spend hours and hours and hours in adoration. And, you know, I was just thinking, what happened to those beautiful symbols and beautiful historical elements of that shrine? Are they down at the Cathedral Basilica? Are they stored away? You know, I'm just picturing that chair. I know there's one at the Miraculous Metal Shrine. I know there's a chair, but, you know, whatever happened to that chair? And this,
I don't know.
Yeah, you know, you have to find out for me and come back.
Yes, I will have to find that out for you. I didn't even know about it, I have to be honest.
Yeah, very special chair where she would spend hours in adoration, a very hard wooden chair, much like the one at the Miraculous Metal Shrine. That she would spend hours and hours in adoration. And I know, I wish I could, I had a good memory of the nun who worked with her, actually worked with her, said that it was very uncomfortable, but one could never disturb her when she was communicating with the Lord before the Blessed Sacrament. And so the whole story on EWTN was, it was about her love for the Blessed Sacrament, of course, and her love for serving the poor and working in areas where no one had worked before. So what a story. She's quite a story for Philadelphia. And Drexel University is named because of her family.
Yes, it was founded by her uncle.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, their family is well known in our area.
Yes, of course. So Beth, did you uncover any specific beautiful prayer or prayers that Mother prayed or she had written in your search in the archives?
Oh, there are. There was one. The one that stuck out to me the most is actually the. It was the opening prayer this year from the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament. Do you want me to read it to you?
Please.
Okay. Ever-loving God, you called St. Catherine Drexel to teach the message of the gospel and to bring the life of the Eucharist to the African-American and Native American peoples. By her prayers and example, enable us to work for justice among the poor and oppressed. Draw us all into the Eucharistic community of your church, that we may be one in you. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. And did you uncover any prayers that she had personally written for her sisters or for Xavier or for the missions that she was involved in? Any heartfelt prayers? Again, we'll have to have you back on that.
Well, the other prayer that comes to mind is this one.
Mm-hmm.
And she often wrote her prayers. I mean, we have such a treasury of beautiful quotes from St. Catherine, which we post on our Facebook page. So if you're interested in checking those out, you can go there and check out the quotes. But this one is especially meaningful. I wish to be one who conscientiously takes part in the unfolding of God's plans and eventually have a glorious part in the final unfolding of time into the glory of God's kingdom in heaven. If we are disciples of Jesus, we shall be happy to spend ourselves and be spent for the salvation of souls. I just think that's so beautiful, because she did. She spent everything. She spent not only her money that could have been spent for so many things in life that could have benefited herself personally, and she chose to spend it for the good of others, to bring justice to people who needed it. And she spent her, she not only spent her money, but she spent her own life. She, you know, she devoted her life to serving them, to serving others. She's a true hero, a true role model.
She certainly is. And do you think she's well known throughout the world, or is she just a Philadelphia type of saint?
I think she's well known. I mean, I think she's getting more well known. I'm hoping to make her more well known.
Yeah, that's your job, Beth.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm wondering, in for our listeners in Europe and South America and overseas, if they would be familiar. Did she do any work internationally with missions?
Mm-hmm. Not that I know of, but I do know that the sisters do have missions in Haiti, and I don't know about other places. But
well, we need St. Catherine Drexel today. We need her.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we need her intercession. And the purpose of this program, Thy Will Be Done, is to build up in spiritual endurance during these right? I mean, both of us need spiritual endurance.
Absolutely.
During these difficult times. You know, Beth, let's get a little personal here. What has Mother Catherine Drexel done for you?
Oh, Anne.
I know. You knew I would ask that.
It'll make me cry to tell.
Well, but, please tell.
When we first moved to this area, my husband and I had just moved here from a situation, and we had pretty much lost everything. And in moving to this area, it was a brand new start. We had just come back into the church. We had left the Catholic Church for a couple of years, and you know, as God would place us, like I said, in the parish where St. Catherine had worked her miracle, you know, they were preparing. We moved here in June, and you know, they were preparing to go over because she was being canonized on October 1st. So, you know, there was a lot of excitement and a lot of focus. So I got to learn a lot about her, and I thought out the location of the shrine at that point. Actually, what had happened was I had wanted to go, and then I was looking for a job, and I had, and it turns out there was a job that I applied for there at the shrine. And I was happy to go because, you know, I didn't know my way around, and found where the shrine was, and I did not get the job, which was fine at the time. But I did find the shrine. So I would go to the shrine probably once a month. And it just was, you know, praying at her tomb is just such a source of solace. And it brings you so much peace. And that's still the case today. And I used to pray to St. Catherine, you know, your family had so much money, and we just need enough. We just need enough to raise our family. And you know what? She has interceded, and God has blessed us, and we have done so much with everything that He's given us, and we are just so grateful. But I still, when she was when her tomb was moved to the cathedral, I asked Father Gill if he needed help, and I told him I would be honored to join him in helping to promote St. Catherine Drexel and the shrine. And he took me up on the offer. So I'm very blessed to be working to make St. Catherine Drexel's name known, and to let people know about her and her incredible intercession and her incredible love for human beings, regardless of their color or their faith. She brings people faith. She teaches people her faith just by her example. So,
well, that's a very powerful witness, Beth Racine.
Yes. Very, and I didn't cry. I was really afraid I was going to start crying, to tell you, but it's she's meant a lot to us. So I'm very grateful, and I'm happy to share the story because, you know, because it does bring hope to hear. you know, that God answers prayer.
He sure answers prayers. And you know, it's not so much the information, her historical information. It's important to lay the platform for an introduction to those, for those who do not know St. Catherine Drexel. But it's the story from the heart. It's your story from the heart of how you were in desperate times and how you reached out to St. Catherine Drexel. And she heard the prayers of your heart. And for those of you who have never prayed to St. Catherine Drexel, she's ready and she's waiting for you. If you're suffering financially today, if you're suffering a social or racial injustice, if your company or your ministry is hurting, pray to her. Pray to her for the strength and the courage and for the charism that she held so dearly. Spend time in the Blessed Sacrament. Has she led you to a deeper faith and love of the Blessed Sacrament, Beth?
Oh, absolutely. Because every time I would go to her shrine to pray and gain the comfort and solace that I would go there for, you know, they had at the shrine in Bensalem, they always had the Eucharist available for adoration the whole time. And I wasn't really used to that. So I would go up there, and it was just, that was the other part of the incredible experience at the shrine. You know, just, and I grew to love going and praying before the Eucharist. And then as, you know, our churches started opening Eucharistic adoration. So that was more of a draw for me than really helped. I highly recommend it for anybody I can't imagine anybody that's not going through trials. I think everyone gets their cross, you know, and there's no better place to go.
And Beth,
before the Lord.
Amen. Beth, tell our listeners how they would view the website for St. Catherine Drexel.
Oh, the St. Catherine. Well, you have to remember that Catherine's name is spelled Katharine. So her website is Saint, that's spelled out, Saint, Catherine, like I just spelled it, Drexel, shrine.com. So again, it's Saint Catherine Drexel shrine.com, and Saint is spelled out, and Catherine has two A's in it.
And it has her life story on it. It has the quotes, correct?
Yes. It's got a lot of her history, and it's got a lot of her quotes, and there are prayers. You can submit your prayer requests online there. It's a really beautiful way. You can receive a Mass card. You can also, which we don't have yet on the website, but I'm going to tell you something that we're able to do. One of the things people have been asking us for is if we have any relics, and we don't have it. There's no first class relics because she, you know, they did not open her tomb. But what we decided to do was to create special prayer cards, and we've touched them to the tomb, and they become third class relics. So those are available for people that would be interested in having them. And you can write to info@cathedralphila.com, it's .org, pardon me for that. So it's cathedralphila.
Phila. Yeah.
Yeah.
.org. If
and you can request that.
Okay.
And they will send one to you if you're interested.
That's cathedralphila, Phila, .org, if you're interested in a third-class relic.
Yes.
Please
info
do so.
Info at cathedralphila.
Info. And to visit the website, go ahead, please, St. Catherine Drexel Shrine.
StCatherineDrexelShrine.com.
And there you'll find a plethora of prayer cards, of of information, of quotes. It's a gold mine for you for follow-up to this program. And so we highly encourage you to visit the site and to ask for the third-class relic. And again, it's third-class because they have not opened the tomb of Mother Catherine Drexel.
Correct.
Everyone perceives that one has to open the tomb and the body has to be in perfect condition. And there are a lot, you know, I would love to have Dennis Gill on one time. I asked him if he would be on the program with me.
I would love to
have him describe, you know, why her tomb isn't open and St. John Neumann is. You can see his body, and a lot of people perceive that you have to be a saint. Your body has to be in perfect condition. So I need Dennis Gill. Ask him to be on the program with me, and we'll open the lines because I'm sure there's a lot of catechetical information that needs to be shared.
Yes.
But in the meantime, Beth, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Anne, for having me. It's great to talk to you.
And whatever we can do to help promote St. Catherine Drexel Shrine, please, please don't hesitate to ask. And we hope that you can come back again.
Well, thank you so much, Anne. It was a blessing to be here. And I appreciate all your work to do so much for us. Thank you.
All right. God bless you, Beth.
You too, Anne.
Bye-bye.
God bless you too.
Bye-bye. Well, I hope you learned a lot today and you visit the website and ask for the third class relic. And my friends, I'm just going to mention again, the In His Sign Catholic Radio Golf Tournament is Monday, April 26th at Old York Road Country Club, Springhouse, Pennsylvania. Don't forget, sign up. And we're looking for gift baskets. The silent auction is off the wall, as the kids say today. Off the wall. Nope. Our producer's young. Joe Borsini's looking at me like, we don't say that. Okay, I'm very old, and I said it. But we need lots of gift baskets and autographed sports memorabilia and retail and restaurant cards. Please give, because this sustains this ministry that is really run by nothing but volunteers, including Kathleen McCarthy. My friends, I hope and pray that you enjoyed the program. Again, we're looking to spiritual endurance as our theme for Thy Will Be Done throughout the 2021 year, and special guests will be coming up, and I ask that you please support this amazing apostolate, 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, Pennsylvania, 19010. Next up, the infamous Joe Trainer. So be sure to stay tuned and tell your friends to tune in. Until next week, God bless you.
Be alert.